Welcome to Comfort and Closure, Conversations with a Death Doula. I'm your host, Tracy Arielli. Each week, I bring you guests who've dedicated themselves to helping people navigate the practical, emotional, and spiritual aspects of aging, death, and grieving. Grab your favorite warm drink and settle in for an enlightening conversation that aims to demystify and destigmatize these natural, yet often unspoken aspects of our human journey. Hello, everyone. I'm Tracy Arielli, end-of-life doula and founder of Comfort and Closure. Welcome to another episode. Today, we're going to discuss a topic that is gaining attention for its gentle approach and environmental benefits, aqua cremation. Joining us is a very special guest, Kayla Flores from White Rose Aqua Cremation. White Rose is at the forefront of offering this innovative alternative to traditional cremation and burial methods. The process is legal in just 25 states, and only 17 of these offer facilities that can do aqua cremation services. Kayla is here to talk about this option, discussing everything from the process to the environmental impacts and how it caters to the emotional and spiritual needs of families during their time of loss. Welcome, Kayla, to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Can you start off by telling our viewers a little bit about yourself and how you came to work at White Rose?
Gosh, the way I found this is a little strange. So I was a bartender for 8 or 9 years, and I was really finding myself just so incredibly unfulfilled. I was not happy with my job. I was showing up to work in a bad mood, coming home in a bad mood. It just was really putting a lot on me. So this position kind of fell in my lap. And I just had to decide, you know, is this something that I want to pursue? I really didn't know anything about it. Brand new technology. I've never been in the funeral industry before. And it was during COVID. And I just decided I was just going to jump right in and take all the courses and get my licenses that I needed and my certifications. And here we are. And I'm so thankful that I made that change because, man, do I feel fulfilled now.
Could you give us an overview of White Rose Aqua Cremation and the mission that drives your work in the end-of-life care industry?
Absolutely. I think very simply put, our mission is just to serve families and to serve them well. Really what comes with that is we're a very small company over here. When you come to our facility, you'll meet one of the four of us, and that will be the person that will walk you through this process from start to finish. I think that's really what sets us apart, is it's a very small, intimate experience that we're able to offer to these families. And again, just serving them well while they're going through the toughest times. So we have a wonderful staff over here, and I think we do what we do very well.
For those who aren't familiar with aquamation, can you explain what it is and how it differs from something like cremation?
Sure, absolutely. So everybody knows of traditional flame cremation. It's been around for forever now. And so water cremation has actually been around for quite some time as well. It's been around since 1888, and that's more scientifically known as alkaline hydrolysis. And what had happened was this gentleman owned a farm, and he wanted to know, how can I take all of these animals that are passing and how can I turn them into a fertilizer? And he used alkaline hydrolysis. So over the years, they've perfected that method, and it started being used for donor cadavers at different hospitals. And then it slowly moved into the funeral industry in 2011. The process itself is actually much more like a natural burial than it is cremation. But the term cremation is used for the understanding. People really understand what's happening when we use that term because they know so much about traditional flame cremation. But what's happening is that in our chamber or our vessel, all that's introduced is potassium salts and warm water. And what that's doing is it's bringing up the pH of the water and the alkalinity of the water, and it's doing the breakdown of the bonds of the tissues of the body over an 8-hour period of time. Now, at the end of the process, you're still getting an urn back like you would with flame cremation. So again, this is just a different alternative, an eco-friendly alternative, and it's very, very gentle.
What should families expect when they choose this method for their loved ones, from, you know, coming in and discussing the options to going through the process and after?
So from start to finish, again, you'll have one of the four of us that will be taking care of you. And you have the option to come to our facility here and meet with us in person, or we are able to do everything electronically. I would say 90% of our families choose to do it that way. And It's a very simple process. We send over electronic documents. We bring somebody into our care when those documents are signed. And then there's about a 5 to 7 day period that we have to go through of filing a death certificate before we can actually proceed with the water cremation itself. So typically from the time somebody comes into our care until the time they can return home or to wherever their final location is going to be, it's about a 10-day process. And we really encourage families to be as involved or as uninvolved as they want to be in that process. They really do have that option with us. We'd like to give families constant updates with each step of our process. And again, I think that really sets us apart, you know, allowing them to let us know how involved they want to be in the process.
So if a family wants to be involved and they want some kind of ceremony, have you had families come in and say, okay, when you do this, I want to see the body, for just the beginning, and I want to have some, I want to say some words. Do people do that at your facility?
They do. They do. It's becoming more common. It wasn't very common in the beginning, but we do offer a witness cremation or an ID view for families. So because we are a direct cremation facility, we do not have a chapel. We don't have a viewing room, but we're able to still try to help their families see them in their last moments. So if they do want to, they can go in our witness room and they can actually watch the beginning of the process of the cremation through a window. And I would say that's becoming much more popular than it was before. I think it's an awesome last step in that closure process for families. So they can be as involved again as they'd like to be in that. They can be there for that exact moment that process starts.
What do they receive after the process is done?
That is an awesome question. So it's a really big misconception. People that find us that don't do their research about us or haven't already heard of water cremation, they expect to get either nothing or water back. That is the number one and two things that they think. So let me ask you this. Have you ever had anybody that's gone through like a flame cremation process? Do you know much about flame cremation yourself?
Yeah, I have had, I've had family members go through flame cremation. Yes.
And the reason I ask that is because do you know what's in that urn when it comes home?
It is, I believe that it is the ashes, but it's also some of the bone, and they crush the bones also.
Absolutely. Yes, that's exactly right. And so the reason I brought that up is because I think the reason that people think they're not getting anything back is because when we start talking about water, the whole idea of ashes kind of goes out the window for people, for some people that don't know about this. And all that you're getting back, whether you are using water cremation or flame cremation, is just bone material inside of that urn. It's being broken down. But the reason they use ash is because of the fire, because of the combustion, the ash after the fire. So although we don't have the combustion, we don't technically have ashes, you're still receiving an entire urn of cremated remains at the end of the process, that bone material.
Great. So the difference is really you're not giving them the byproduct of the cremation, which in the fire cremation is that's the ash. You're actually giving them the bones, the crushed bones back, which is actually their person.
Exactly. And with flame cremation, you know, you are able to provide certain objects or memorial pieces that can go in with the loved one. We have certain things that we can do that well with as well, but we don't have, again, that combustion that's going with, you know, clothing items or maybe teddy bears or small pieces that are inside of the chamber during a flame cremation. So it is, again, just that inorganic bone material that's being returned. And with water cremation, you're actually getting about 20 to 30% more than you would with a flame cremation because we're not having that combustion, because we're not at that very high 1800 degree heat.
So what is it like? How much material does a person actually get back?
It's amazing. It really varies from person to person. On average, I would say that we're getting about 6 pounds of remains back. So we do try to steer families when they're purchasing urns, whether that's with us or an outside source, to go a little bit on the larger side, because again, we do receive quite a bit more.
Environmental sustainability, is really a significant concern for, I hope, most of us. How does aqua cremation align with the eco-friendly practices, and what are the environmental benefits of this process?
There is quite a few. So when we say that this is an eco-friendly process, it really truly is. So we all know that emissions are a huge issue, especially with crematories. I don't know if you know this or not, but down here in San Diego, we actually aren't allowed to have any more here flame crematories. We're completely capped out. So with water cremation, not only is there no emissions, but we're about 1/10 of the electricity that it would be to run a traditional flame cremation. We are 100% electric at our facility here. Even our CO2, which we'll touch on that later, is all a green CO2 here. We're not putting any mercury out into the air. That's another really big one. So any kind of metals that are in the body during a normal flame cremation, that's off-putting a lot of mercury. So any kind of knees, hips, even fillings. So again, we're not having any of that here. I know that people worry about the water. Of course, we're in California. You know, we worry about droughts. The amount of water that's actually used for the water cremation itself is about what a family of four uses in their entirety of the day.
That's very minimal. That's surprising to me.
Yeah. It's all able to be easily reclaimed and then put off of the coast of Del Mar as well after the process. So again, it's all full circle.
Wonderful. And as far as the remains themselves, I know a lot of people with the cremains, they actually like to put it in their garden or maybe have a service out in the forest or do a sea burial. How does aquamation, how do these remains fit into that whole, hey, let's use them to nourish the earth?
So you can do anything that you would with flame cremains or cremated remains with water cremation. So you could do any of the, I don't know if you've seen the hand-blown glass art, you can use the water cremains for that. There's lovely reef balls that they'll place off the coast of Florida. I'm not sure if you've ever heard of those, but those are unbelievable. They actually place them at the bottom near a reef, and whatever is in the cremated remains in that ball actually helps to nourish that reef. It's unbelievable. So that's another option. We do offer what's called a biotree urn here, which is a product that can be used again for flame or water cremated remains. And that allows a family to use the cremated remains to help grow a sapling and then have that as a permanent memorial piece at home. So again, anything that you can do with flame remains.
Are there any common misconceptions about aqua cremation that you continually run into?
I would say a big one that we kind of briefly talked about earlier was what am I getting back? Am I getting nothing back? Am I getting water? I would say that's probably number one. The second one is going to be the understanding of the process itself. So a lot of people jump to, well, this is acid, and it's not. So if you know anything about like an alkaline scale, alkalinity is going to be on the completely opposite scale of acid. So I would say that's probably the second biggest one, is educating people what exactly is going on during this process.
Aqua cremation is legal in 25 states currently. I understand that New Hampshire reversed that decision in 2008 amid opposition from religious lobby groups. Can you discuss the challenges and opposition the industry has faced?
Goodness, there's so many. I would say, just as being a new technology in this industry, we have a hard time getting just the education out there. You would think, because it's been around in the industry for quite some time now, that most people in this industry would understand what it was, or at least have an idea. And a lot of people don't. And I think that that is really hard for us, because those people do try to speak on water cremation. And sometimes that is a very large lack of information that can look poorly on what exactly it is that we're doing. Aside from that, I would say that different religious groups are slowly coming on board with water cremation, but that's definitely a huge hiccup for us. I know I can't speak too much to Catholicism, but we've had Catholic families that have come here and have really wanted to use our services. But because the Pope has not made a yes or no decision on it, it basically means that they're not going to move forward with that. So again, we're even reaching out to the diocese and just trying to get the word out of what it is that we do here. So I would say those are probably the biggest hurdles that we're going through. And even opening this facility as the first one in California, even getting licensed and permitting and just trying to open this facility took us, gosh, about 4 years just to get licensed after the law had already passed, because nobody knows what we're doing. So I think that's the biggest hurdle, is just part of our job is education all the way around.
So I know there's really the religious opposition that we spoke about. Are there any cultural experiences that you've encountered, any opposition or education that you need to do?
Not really. I would say the only other one that I can kind of think of was that There's a weird way that the health and safety code is written right now, especially for us being a brand new facility, that any kind of remains that are leaving our facility have to be pulverized, processed down, or unidentifiable. And we're finding that with certain cultural beliefs, I believe it was Hindu, they really want to take back a full piece of the bone back with them. And we're just unable to do that right now. And that's something that we're working on with, you know, legislative. That's a huge and whole other thing. But that's definitely been a hiccup for us as well. We've had families not use us because of that.
Cost is an important consideration for most families. How does the cost of aqua cremation compare to the traditional methods like cremation and burial?
Sure. With a flame cremation, it really depends on where you're at. But right now, about $2,000 is about the range. Now that can go anywhere from $900 if you're looking at somewhere that's a low cost facility. I've seen everywhere up to about $2,500. We start at $3,750. And if you look at that in comparison, it's really not that much more money for, I think it's the perceived value of what it is that we do here. You know, it's a new technology, it's gentle, it's eco-friendly. And I think the people that find us and choose this, they really want this. Again, I think it's that perceived value of that gentleness, that eco-friendliness. So it's really not that much more of a jump, I think. And if you compare it to burial, I mean, you could be anywhere from $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 right now, depending on what exactly it is that you're trying to do. So we are a little bit more expensive, but not far off.
I know that aqua cremation is done and is very limited where it's done. There aren't a lot of facilities. Do people out of state actually send you their loved ones? And what does it look like?
They do. So we've served families from Florida, New York, Texas, Arizona. We're working with a family from there right now. And what we're able to do is that when you're bringing a body across county lines, that's an easy process, city lines. But when you're crossing state lines, it gets a little bit, it's just a little bit more involved. So we have wonderful shipping companies that will help us get death certificates, permits done, and get them on a plane usually within a couple of days, depending on how quickly we can get paperwork filled out with the family. But usually they'll arrive to us in 3 to 4 business days, which is quite quickly for bringing somebody across state lines.
It's very different when you're talking about shipping a decedent across state lines and you say, they'll be here, they'll arrive 3 to 4 business days.
It really is. And, you know, we really try, and I think all the way around what anybody should do when you're in this industry is setting that expectation right in the beginning so that people know, you know, what the process is going to look like, kind of like you asked. And so we're able to just kind of guide them through that. And all of our families have been really happy. Again, it's a much more involved process, but we make it happen.
Looking ahead, how do you see aquamation evolving?
I think that as soon as the education's out there and as soon as people know that this is an option, I think it's going to be huge. I really do think that this will be the new form of cremation, especially with the new generations. I know myself, I have a younger brother, and everybody in that generation is very, very green. I mean, we are as well, but I really think that as they're coming up and taking care of their loved ones, you know, their parents, their grandparents, and themselves, I really think that this is going to be an awesome option. You're returning back to the earth and as naturally as you can.
What are some of the outreach options or the outreach activities that you're doing?
Oh, gosh. The hugest one right now is hospice. So we have a community liaison on board. And what we do is we will go out to hospices, bring pastries, and just some information about what it is that we do. And there's really this fine line with promoting a service in the funeral industry, because you have to be just very sensitive about it. So we really go back and forth with what that looks like. But right now our focus has been hospice teams, because again, and social workers, they're on the front lines. They're with these families. These families are asking them, you know, what do we do? What are our options? And as long as they know that this is even an option, it's not going to be for everybody, but every family should know that they have every option.
Are you starting to see more and more people plan for this versus the last minute? I know for a long time, funeral planning and picking out a casket, that was done in response to a death. And now it's becoming more and more common for this is just part of your
planning, your will, you have your advanced directive, and you have your how you're going to proceed with your funeral. And so that's becoming more and more common. Are you seeing that that's becoming more and more common in your industry also?
It's so common, which we love to see it. It is so important to have these conversations, make your decisions, pre-plan if that's something that's important to you, but at least have it in some sort of writing, whether that's an advance directive, power of attorney, that you've put somebody in place that knows what you want. But it's very common. We work with families on pre-needs all the time, and we have a wonderful pre-need specialist on board that's able to walk them through the whole process.
Are there options that people have within the, you know, within Aquamation? I don't know what those would be, but are there any, is there any options even before or after the process?
Yes, there are. So even though we are a direct facility, if it's important for somebody to have a full funeral service at a chapel, embalming, any of those things that maybe we don't do here, we have partner funeral homes that we would highly recommend that we're able to help them facilitate those things and still do the water cremation process for them. I think that's really important. That's another misconception I forgot to speak of, is that people think that if they want those things, you know, they want the traditional embalming, all of that, the funeral service, that they can't use this service just because we don't offer it. But we highly encourage the families to let us know what it is that they want, and we will make it happen for them.
If a person is embalmed, is there a difference in process between a person who, okay.
No, not at all, which is, it's quite awesome. There's nothing that it affects whatsoever at all.
Wonderful.
Yeah. And we don't do the embalming at our facility, but that's just because it's just in line with our eco-friendly.
Yeah. What advice would you give families considering aqua cremation for their loved ones?
I don't think it would be advice from like White Rose itself, but I think for families to do the due diligence of doing your research and making your decisions, not to, you know, speak back to what we were just talking about pre-need, but I would say that's the biggest advice I have. You know, we watch families that come in here that their, you know, parents, their loved ones don't have that in place. And it's so much on them. You know, they've already lost their loved one. They're trying to navigate through this. Would my loved one like this decision that I'm making for them? You know, there's just a lot that, the big burden to leave on somebody. And so I would say that's my biggest piece of advice is, you know, have the conversation with your loved ones, make a decision on what it is that you want, and try to take care of those things so that you're not leaving that on somebody at the time that you pass.
Yeah. I know with me, when I do the advanced directive and the pre-planning, because there's a lot of pre-planning that you can get done before a person passes away. And I tell people the greatest gift you can give your loved ones is having everything planned beforehand. Because then the family can focus on being a family and starting that grieving process versus planning a funeral and kind of guessing what mom or dad or your loved one would want. That's a lot of pressure.
Absolutely. And I don't think people, of course, until you're in it, you don't really understand it, but I don't think people think about all of the logisticals that already come with the passing of somebody, you know, helping close accounts, maybe taking care of their estates, whatever it may be. So you're already going to have to deal with a lot of that, again, logistical stuff. You don't also need to try to figure out, you know, again, am I making the right decision? Is this what they would have wanted? It's, again, it's a lot to leave on somebody. And I think that having that conversation is, there's such a stigma around it. You know, you don't want to talk about death. You don't want to think of your loved one passing, but again, it's so incredibly important to do that.
So you came from being a bartender to White Rose. How have you changed from, you know, from just doing this work? How have your views changed?
Oh my gosh, so much. And I am so thankful for what this place and this industry and my families that I'm able to serve have taught me and showed me. Again, I'm very fulfilled. I don't find myself, you know, in an anger because I'm not fulfilled or that I'm not happy with what I'm doing. It is such an honor and a blessing to be able to serve families in this time. Somebody has to do it. And I think that it's such a, it's a remarkable experience to walk through this grief with people. It really is. I've changed a lot myself. I'm a parent now, as well as I'm trying to navigate having this new career, and the perspective change is unbelievable. You know, what's going on right now is what matters.
Yeah. Being around death does, you know, and being around people who are grieving really puts things in perspective.
Oh, absolutely. You know, anything that may have seemed like an issue to me or whatever it may be, it really makes you hold your loved ones close. It makes you really choose the things that you allow to affect you in life, I feel like. Again, I think it's right here and now that matters, and hold your loved ones close always.
Well, Kayla, we're about out of time. Thank you so much for being on the show today. How can our community find you?
You can find us. We're on all social media platforms. So White Rose Aqua Cremation on Instagram, Facebook, and at whiteroseaquacremation.com.
Thank you. Folks, today's conversation highlights the importance of understanding the options available to us when it comes to honoring our loved ones. Whether it's through traditional methods or more innovative practices like aqua cremation, it's clear that we have choices that can align with our values, beliefs, and environmental concerns. It's all about finding the right fit for you and your family, ensuring that your legacy is honored in a way that feels meaningful. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Comforting Closure. If you have any questions about today's topic or anything else, please don't hesitate to comment below or reach out to me directly. And if you found this conversation to be helpful, I encourage you to like, share, comment, and subscribe. This is Tracy Ariely from Comforting Closure, wishing you peace and comfort in your journey. Until next time, take care.